book of Job. The book of Job is a fable. And like all fables, there is something of a lesson it is trying to impart, something true about life it is trying to say, something true about God it is striving to communicate. And like all fables, the lesson comes at the end, but can only be arrived at by starting at the beginning. The beginning. Job was a man. He was a good man, extraordinarily good, actually, blameless, doing nothing wrong, if it is to be believed. Nothing wrong. What's more, this blameless man, he had it all. Good family, prosperous business, good health, plus he was rich. This is how it's supposed to be, right? Person does good things come to them. Justice. But then, one day, and for no good reason, all of it is taken away from him. His business collapses. He loses all of his money. It's not the end of the world. Money isn't everything, right? Then his family falls ill, and he loses his children one by one. And then his own health collapses, and he's left suffering in his own body, penniless, and society racked with grief, utterly alone, and all for no good reason. Job wants answers. Job wants explanations, because of course he does. It is natural to want to understand why. Why me? And so, Job decides to put God on trial. Job puts God on trial for 35 chapters. That's more than any of the Gospels, by the way. For 35 chapters, Job is prosecutor and God the defendant. It is a scene unlike anything else in all of the Bible. Job arguing convincingly, winningly, successfully proving that God owes him an explanation. Job was blameless, having done nothing wrong, so if God really is a God who values justice, that is, people getting what they deserve, if God really is a God who values justice, then God has some explaining to do. And remarkably, God shows up. God shows up sweeping in like a tempest or a whirlwind, like a tornado or a hurricane. God replies to Job. Replies with a hurricane of words, a tornado of questions. Job asks God to explain why he has suffered so unjustly. This is God's reply. Can you hunt prey for the lion or satisfy the appetite of the young lions? Who provides for the raven its prey when its young ones cry to God and wander about for lack of food? Do you know when the mountain goat gives birth? Do you observe the calving of the deer? Is the wild ox willing to serve you? Will it spend the night at your crib? Is it by your wisdom that the hawk soars and spreads its wings toward the south? Is it at your command that the eagle mounts up and makes its nest on high? This is just a taste of it. For 129 straight verses, 129 straight verses, God asks question after question after question after question after question after question after question that God knows Job has no way of answering. And they're mostly questions about animals. Mostly God asks about animals that burrow through the earth or swim through the water or soar through the sky. Some animals which are mundane, some exotic, some animals that people see every day. Other animals which prowl the deeps of the ocean so deep that it is impossible that human eye should ever look upon them. The cumulative effect of 129 straight verses of rhetorical questions is powerful. It is crystal clear before God is halfway through just how little Job knows of the living world and its goings on. But even more than demonstrating Job's ignorance, God's remarkable string of questions reveals something about the divine, something a person might not have guessed. God's string of questions reveals something of the inner mind of God. This string of questions reveals something about what God is doing with all of God's time all the time. God, it seems, we read, we hear in these questions, God is caring for and paying close attention to the animals of the earth. Even seemingly insignificant creatures receive minute attention. God cares deeply about the comings and goings and mournings and dyings and hungering and thirsting of the animals of the world. Animals that have their own reason for existence, not contingent upon humankind and its noticings. These animals, they have their own worth in God's eyes. There is not, it seems, a sparrow that falls to the earth, but that God has known of its dying. There is not, it seems, a spider spinning a web, but that God has applauded its ingenuity. There is not, it seems, a vulture circling in the desert, but that God has praised its patience. The book of Job begins by asking how a loving God, a just God, could ever countenance the suffering of people. This is a deep question, to be sure, one that must be asked by any person who would claim faith in God. Job demands an answer. God, how come you don't care about me? And what happens to me? It is a deep question. And God's reply is one that shows a truth deeper still. The scope, the reach, the depth, the vastness of God's care for what God has created. It is beyond human understanding. The book of Job is a fable. It is a fable. And like all fables, there is something of a lesson it's trying to impart. Something true about life that it's trying to say. Something true about God that it strives to communicate. And in this fable, we learn, suffering will come, even to the righteous, even to those who do not deserve suffering, and there will be no clear explanation, not even from the mouth of God. This is a true thing about life. It is not pretty, but it is true, and the truth has a kind of stark beauty to it. Suffering will come, even to the righteous, and God will not offer any explanations because there are none. God will not offer explanations. But God does offer respite. God does offer comfort. God does offer healing. God offers us a vast and beautiful and awe-inspiring world to love and move within. God offers us the gift of awe and wonder at the vastness of what is living and moving in the world, this world that God has created. So if you are suffering, perhaps even greatly so, if you are suffering, I am sorry. You do not deserve it. Don't take that from me. This is not my words about this. This is what the book of Job, the Bible's premier theological treatise on the topic of suffering, this is what Job, this is what the Holy Scripture has to say to you. If you are suffering, then God will say, I am not punishing you. That is not what I do. And if you are looking for some answers to explain it all, then God will say, I am sorry. I do not have any explanations. Explanations is not what I do. But what I have, I offer to you. The whole of this beautiful creation, the vastness of the world, one great cathedral for you. The book of Job is a fable. And like any fable, it is one story with many meanings, and so God's words, the words, God's questions, they may not be what they seem at first glance. That is the way it is with fables. God's questions may be something more like an invitation. They may be something more like a road map, something like directions on the way home. Have you entered into the springs of the sea or walked the recesses of the deep? Where is the way to the dwelling of light, that you may discern the paths home? Have you entered the storehouses of the snow? Or have you seen the storehouses of the hail? Who provides for the raven when its young ones cry to God and wander about for lack of food? Do you know? Do you know when the mountain goats give birth? Do you observe the calving of the deer? Who has let the wild donkey go free? Who has loosed its bonds? It ranges the mountains as its pasture, and it searches after every green thing. The hawk soars and spreads its wings towards the south. The eagle mounts up and makes its nest on high. It lives on the rock. It makes its home in the fastness of the rocky crag. It is no academic question and no optional question of that either. What does our faith, what does God have to say in the face of suffering? Our faith and our God do not offer answers. And would an answer truly be a balm? Would an answer truly be healing? If in answering the wound were treated only with words and explanations. Though we clamor for explanations, they will not offer healing, and God will not give them anyway. Our faith in our God instead gives us a source of comfort and respite. The beauty of the world, full of creatures both marvelous and mundane, each one of which is seen and beloved by God. Each one. Even me. Even me.